It's time for Football Asia with Paul Williams.
Yes, time to catch up with Paul Williams from the Asian Game podcast. Evening to you, Paul. How are you, mate?
Good, Simon. How are you going?
Very good. Broski's here as well. A massive week of Asian Champions League and AFC Cup. Quarterfinals and semis in the senior competition held over the last few days. So joy and despair for a couple of Australians. Let's start with the despair. Mitch Langerak's dream of winning the trophy coming to an end in the quarters, beaten 3-0 by Pohang, Alex Grant's team, of course. In the classic game of two halves, I was watching the highlights of this game. How Pohang won this game after the first half that Nagoya had was remarkable.
It was. It was truly remarkable. They had that that moment where they cleared the ball on the line and then the keeper made a miraculous save tracking back to keep Nagoya out. And that really proved a pivotal moment as they went on and won quite comfortably in the end. And I think that surprised a lot of people. And then, you know, we come to last night and they're facing Ulsan, the defending champions, the leaders of the K-League. And again, a lot of people thought that that Ulsan would be too strong, that they took the lead. But Pohang in remarkable fashion, and Alex Grant was right in amongst all of the action. He had two great chances to equalise, and it was third time lucky for him in the 90th minute that he got a looping header into the back of the net, and that sent it to extra time, and Pohang went on to win in dramatic fashion in a penalty shootout, and they're now on to a final that I don't think, if you went back a week, even I said that Nagoya would fancy themselves against Pohang because their form domestically was quite poor. I don't think many people thought that they would get this far, but here they are chasing now a record fourth Asian continental title.
We'll talk about the final in a minute, but just on Alex Grant, who scored that late equaliser for Pohang, the first Aussie in 7 years to play in the final, assuming he's fit and he's selected, of course, for the final. But the first since the Wanderers, of course, won the competition against Al Hilal. That's quite an achievement for Alex.
It's a fantastic achievement. I went back and had a look at it. He's only the second Australian after Sasha Rognanowski to play in a Champions League final for a non-Australian club. So it's a fantastic achievement because it hasn't always been easy going for him there in Pohang since he left Perth Glory. When he first went, I think he really struggled to break in to the side and wasn't playing a lot, but he has now managed to do that and is playing quite regularly and has become a really important member of this Pohang side as they chase what would be a really unlikely Asian Champions League title.
The other semi-final, the Riyadh Derby, Al Hilal winning through to a third final in 5 years in front of a huge crowd against Al Nassr, and our very own Chris Beath officiating and making a bit of a big call right on stroke of half-time. But I think it was the right one.
He loves a big call.
I think it was the right
he?
One, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
It was absolutely the right call. He pleased one half of Riyadh and he infuriated the other. But it was the right call. It was a reckless challenge that saw Al Nassr go down to 10 men. And from that point on, it was always going to be really difficult. They got back on level terms early in the second half and you thought perhaps that they might be able to pull off a remarkable win. But Salim Al-Dosari scored the winner for Al Hilal. And I think we probably need to give him some props. I don't know if he gets really the recognition that he deserves across the continent for just how consistently he performs both for club and country. He's always there for Saudi Arabia. He's always there for Al Hilal. He's still only 26, 27 years of age. It feels like he's been around forever. He burst onto the scene when he was so young. And I think he probably deserves more recognition than he gets. And the fact maybe that he hasn't been able to leave Saudi Arabia and he just stays and plays domestically. There's no doubt he's talented enough to play in Europe. And we see this a lot with golf footballers. There's no doubt about the talent. I guess it's the mentality and the want to go and test themselves. But he's a player that that is no doubt good enough to play at that level. And hopefully he'll shine again in the final in a month's time.
Speaking of that game, so two clubs that have won the tournament three times each. Who wins the final for you? It's going to be played in Riyadh. Will it be Al Hilal or another team in red and black who could frustrate their fans?
It's the Wanderers all over again, isn't it?
they would hate a team in red and black coming to Riyadh to play them. They'll have nightmares, but I think they'll be too strong. They've been in remarkable form in this competition. As you said, Simon, before, a third final in 5 years, remarkably consistent. Four of the last eight finals as well they've made. The fact that it's at home, I think, gives them a massive advantage. To have a 25,000 capacity crowd all decked out in blue, all vociferously supporting Al Hilal, you can't, and you would know, Alex, just what that does to a player when you're playing in front of that crowd. The atmosphere the other night was simply remarkable. That stadium would have been bouncing, and it will be again for the final, and I think that really gives them the edge, and just the attacking talent that they've got. I expect Al Hilal will win this one.
Okay, let's move on to talk about the inter-zone finals in the AFC Cup, the second tier competition. We better get used to this tournament because our teams could be playing in it soon enough. Ryan McGowan involved in this, but his hopes of playing in the final are over after his Kuwait Sports Club were beaten 2-0 in Bahrain by Muharraq.
Yeah, a really big upset this one as well, because his Kuwait Sports Club have spent big with the sole purpose of winning this competition, the AFC Cup. I mean, alongside Ryan McGowan, they signed John Obi Mikel as well, Sardar Rashidov, a Congolese international whose name I'll probably butcher, but Dimersi Umbakani, who's got an extensive resume right across the top leagues in Europe. So they spent big, because if you win the AFC Cup now, you qualify for the AFC Champions League, and they saw this is a great opportunity for them to put their club on the map. And coming up against Muharraq from Bahrain, I think a lot of people expected them to get the job done, but it was a stunning upset. Muharraq sort of pounced early in front of their home fans. And again, it was another fantastic atmosphere over in West Asia. And they had a 2-0 lead at halftime, and that's how it finished up. So fantastic result for Bahraini football, who's on a little bit of a bounce at the moment. They almost qualified for the final round of World Cup qualifiers, almost knocking out Iran, and now having a club through to the final of the AFC Cup. So great news for Bahraini football.
And in the final, they will play Nassaf Qazi of Uzbekistan, who beat Lee Mann of Hong Kong 3-2. That would have been a story if they got through to the final. An extra time goal, and there's also interest here as well, from ex-Brisbane Roar and Wellington Phoenix striker Andrea Kalogerovic, who by my reckoning, Paul, is with the 24th club of his career. Is that some sort of a record?
It's
got to be close.
I think that's the definition of a journeyman right there. Oh, I was actually checking that out. I was checking out his Wikipedia page today myself and I had to keep scrolling when I got to his club list. It was
how old is he?
It was quite extensive.
I think he's
34 years of age now. Yeah. And it was quite the winner that he scored too. Fantastic finish. I think a lot of people expected that they would win this comfortably. They beat Mohan Bagan 6-0 in the last round to make it through. And I think against Lee Mann from Hong Kong, many people expected the same. They scored early. They were up 2-0 early, and it was almost a case of how many. But, you know, Lee Mann did fantastically well to come back and force it to extra time. But, yeah, fantastic finish from Kalajerovic. And now they're through to the final. And it really should be a really fascinating final. Both these teams have made the final before. They've both won this competition before, one time each. So, yeah, both of these teams looking for their second continental title.
Terrific stuff, Paul. I was going to ask you about Justin Meram's retirement for Iraq, but we're out of time, so maybe save that one for next week, and we'll talk about the ills of Iraqi football. Thanks for your time, mate. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Paul.
Always a pleasure. Cheers, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Paul Williams from the Asian Game podcast. And just before we head off to another break, a couple of text messages. Mike Potter from Port Macquarie. If the Wanderers have signed another star midfielder, we're talking about Jack Rodwell here, I suspect the cap is looking more like a sombrero. That's interesting. And this one, I can't see a name on this one, unfortunately. Just wondering for the A-League, why is there a salary cap? Goodness me, we need a long show for this one. Why can't the club sign more international players so then the game can be much more popular here, like how the other countries do it? And he goes on to say we need promotion relegation. Yep. Look, I think we need all of this stuff, but obviously it's a process, Broski, isn't it?
Yeah,
and unfortunately, the game here has sort of grown in stages. We'd hope to have a national second division at some point, and at some stage down the track, to have a promotion and celebration. Celebration? Relegation.
Both.
As well. Both. Promotion, relegation and celebration. Let's go to a break whilst I put my teeth in, and we'll finish off the show with our greatest game series on the other side of it.